Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. It's the first time I got a chance to see the bulletin, so I got nothing particular to point out. There's a lot of things in there. Very nice bulletin. My name is Father Michael McMahon. This is the very first time I've had the pleasure to be here in Denver at this beautiful church, this great monument to the faith. Certainly you're blessed to be able to have such a church. And it's great to be in this beautiful part of the country as well. I myself, just to give you a little, this is my first time here, a little biography, so to speak. I was ordained in 1996, and I spent 2 years in the Philippines and 2 years in England. In the past 5 years, I've been teaching at our school in Armada, Michigan, which this past year, as many of you probably know, moved from from Armada, the boarding school, the boys' boarding school, at least, to Illinois. Now I'm there in charge of the school in Illinois. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. The Holy Gospel. According to St. Matthew, at that time Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter nor on the Sabbath, for there shall be then great tribulation, such as not hath been seen from the beginning of the world until now. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he's in the desert,' go not out. Behold, he's in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things, know you that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." The end of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, today in the Gospel, our Lord speaks, quoting Daniel the prophet, about the abomination of desolations, the evil in the holy places. And today, when we look around, we can see that everywhere. We see it certainly in the church, this abomination of desolation. We see it in society. We see it everywhere, this chaos and problems, this anti-Christian thought, the evil ways in politics and business, in social thought, in education, everywhere this horrible spirit, this anti-Catholic, anti-God, anti-religious spirit, anti-natural spirit. It's a spirit which is causing abomination and chaos everywhere. We're living certainly in a time of great, great chaos, immense chaos. Chaos which reaches down into the most fundamental things. Think about it in our families with divorce, with contraception, with abortion, the disruption and the destruction of the family, the very basic unit of society. How can there not be a crisis in society when we have such fundamental problems in that basic unit, in the family? The crisis in the church, in the most necessary knowledge, the knowledge which gives life, eternal life, which leads souls to heaven. We have this immense crisis. We're living in, we can say, very, very terrible times, evil times. And yet, given that, there's always hope. There's hope because we have the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, you'll have tribulation. But have confidence because I've overcome the world. He doesn't promise or tell us at any given time how great those tribulations will be. Sometimes we'll have less tribulation. Some people personally will have greater tribulations or less tribulations. It's more or less depending upon the time, depending upon the people. We may live in terrible times, but divine providence, and again, this is a certain consolation. Divine providence wishes us to live in these times and therefore certainly have confidence. There is hope. There's great hope. And that hope rests upon, quite simply, the proper formation of our children. We, as adults, do the very best with what we have been given, with what we know, with what we can do for ourselves, in order to sanctify ourselves, in order to do the best we can for our country, for the church. But the primary thing, the most important thing, is that we're preparing the next generation. This is something that we must do. This is something which gives hope. This is our great work. When you go back to St. Pius X, and he puts his finger at the very beginning of the 20th century on the problem. The problem is ignorance. The problem is an improper formation. The problem is people don't know how to act and behave properly. They have an insufficient knowledge of religious and holy things, of their faith, of the proper way to behave, of the moral life, etc. And therefore, what will reverse that is that with our children, we properly educate them. We give them everything necessary, everything in many cases, even things that we have not been given, in order that they can be successful. Successful in this world, not of this world, but in this world, and especially successful in the spiritual life, in the spiritual things. Being pleasing to Almighty God, being good citizens of the church, being good members of the mystical body. And therefore, there's always hope. There's always hope because there's always work to be done. Every time a child is born, and again, you can see the destruction, the desolation of a contraceptive and abortion society, which destroys the very hope of the future. Therefore, what must we do? We must instruct our children. We can say then, and this is something you're to be commended for here, is the desire to have a school that you're working. There are probably many people here who sacrifice for that school, and that's absolutely necessary. It's critical. We're living at a time when, as I said, education is always important at every time, but so much more so now. The proper formation of a child. It's critical. And therefore, in the Society of St. Pius X, there is, as there should be in any good Catholic congregation, religious order, is the desire to form the youth through, say, quick ways like camps during the summer, through various youth groups, but especially with our schools. And that's absolutely necessary. It's critical for everyone in the communion of saints, not just those who have children, not just those who have children who need to be educated, but for every one of us. Anyone who loves their country, anyone who loves the church, anyone who loves the faith, anyone who loves our Lord Jesus Christ and therefore loves souls will necessarily be concerned about the education of the young. The evil men are concerned, evil people are concerned about the education of youth. And therefore necessarily we must be also. And there are going to be two necessary levels of education. Not speaking of higher education at the university level, that's for certain people. But everyone must be educated up to the high school level. And therefore, you're going to have schools from kindergarten to eighth grade, and then your high schools. And there's got to be decisions made about the best way to do that. Now, on a parish level, it's possible through great sacrifice, but whether it be in time and energy or resources, economic resources, to have a very solid kindergarten through eighth grade school. And that's what you have here. I know very little about the details, but I'm sure there's much work going on to improve that school, to make that a good school. And there's also the completion of that first education, which is the high school. And that's much more difficult to do, given the resources today in each and every one of our parishes. Ideally, you could say it would be great if each one of our parishes had a high school. That would be wonderful. But it's practically, and I think you could even go so far as to say philosophically, not the best thing, given the circumstances today. Practically speaking, we simply don't have the resources. It's not possible even to have a K through 8 in all of our chapels, as much as that might be necessary. We don't have enough priests to do it. We don't have enough teachers. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough books, et cetera, et cetera. It's difficult to have a school. Those of you who are involved in that know that. Much more so, that's magnified when you're speaking about a high school. And therefore, the prudent thing to do, a very practical thing to do, is to pool the resources. You can think about even in old days in the diocese, you had numerous grammar schools. Then you'd have one big Catholic high school. All those grammar schools would feed into it. In a certain sense, that's what's going on today in the United States District. We have a few high schools, and principally this high school, the Our Lady of La Salette High School, this boys' boarding school, which allows your students, your boys, to come from all around the country to this one school, where we can pool our resources on a very practical level. We have an excellent teaching staff. We don't have to have 150 teachers spread out throughout the country. We only need 6 to 8 teachers right there, very good teachers. We're able to have enough priests who can concentrate just on the formation of the boys. There's a pooling of those resources. And therefore, it's very important for everyone in the district to know what this school is about, the school which I have the great grace and fortune to be in charge of, which is located in Illinois, which had been for the past 9 years operating in Michigan, moved to a more proper facility, a better environment, larger, able to receive more boys from around the entire United States, which we're doing. We have 51 boys this year from 16 states. Over 25 of our missions are represented there. We were able to take these boys, your boys, and give them the proper formation that they need. Now, it's difficult. It's a difficult decision. Very often a parent, often the mom, will say, but it's so difficult to give my child up, to send my child away. But you're not looking at it the proper way. Certainly on a human level, on the more tender level, we can say that's true. It is difficult. But we remember what is your primary role as a parent? As a parent, it's to make the proper decisions for the good education of your children. They're not there to please you. They're not there even to be around you. They're your children in only a certain sense. They're God's children in the most profound sense. And your decisions must be made as to what's best for that child. And if that means sending your child away to a boarding school, then that's what you do, because that's what's best for the child. And I say philosophically, a boarding school, maybe more so in our times, but really in all Catholic times, is much better. If you look in monastic schools, the very first Catholic schools, what did parents do? They sent their boys off to a monastery to be trained by the monks, trained by those where the resources were, trained by the proper teachers, trained in the things of God, dispelling that ignorance which causes unbelief, which causes chaos in society and bringing about that abomination of desolation. We have there a single-mindedness, a unity of purpose. Everything is geared and is constructed and put together for the proper formation of these young men. To form what? To form Catholic gentlemen. What is a Catholic gentleman? A Catholic gentleman is one who strives for virtue on the natural and the supernatural level. A finished man. Someone who represents his church well. who represents his school well, who represents his family well. Someone who is a light in the world, a Catholic light in the world. And by the fruits, to this point, we've had over the years now a number of excellent graduates going off to college, going off to the seminary, off to the monastery, to go out and teach, to go out and be examples in this world. This is a critical work. It's an absolutely critical work. On the local level, you need your schools. And on right now, the national level, we have a place which needs prayers, which needs donations, which needs sacrifices on a grander scale. Because if we truly have any hope, it's going to be in the formation of our men. The crisis is a crisis of leadership. We don't have leaders who have the convictions and the character in order to properly lead, to be Catholic men in whatever domain they may choose, in whatever domain God may call them to. We just don't have those leaders. We don't have those Catholic men. And therefore, now is the time, if there will be any time for the future, any great hope for the future, to pool those resources, to put every great effort and sacrifice in whatever way that needs to be made by each and every one of us, to make that school a great school, a beacon of light. And even if it's not located here or at this parish or at that parish or another parish, it is a school without a parish. It's a school with all the parishes. And it's a school which will rely upon all the parishes. It's absolutely necessary. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a child there to support that school. You have to be committed to furthering the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ in society and in the church. And that will come from this school. Please ask your prayers. I ask you to, whatever way you could possibly donate, whatever way you could, if you could put me in contact with anyone who might be able to donate, I would greatly appreciate that, as would the boys greatly appreciate that, as the saints and angels in heaven would greatly appreciate that. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.